So you're going along fine, and then a storm blows in. One day the sun's shining, the next the wind's howling, the rain's pelting down, and you're wondering, how am I going to get through this one? I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome as we continue in a series of messages that I've called Signs, Wonders and Miracles, where we're taking another look at how the power of God can make such an incredible difference in your life. Today we're going to take a look at three of Jesus' miracles, signs as the Apostle John calls them, the time when Jesus walked on water, the healing of a blind man, and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Because they're not just factual historical events, they're signs that point to Jesus. And God has some powerful things to say to you and me today, 2,000 years on, about His power in our lives. So as we share some time together today, I'm praying that God will really deeply speak to you through His Spirit and His Word. There are two equal and opposite mistakes that we can in fact make when it comes to the supernatural. One is to ignore it completely, to behave as though God isn't still doing powerful, amazing things in people's lives. The other mistake is to have an unhealthy fixation on the spiritual. I'm not in either of those two camps. I just know that my God, the one who sent Jesus to this earth to pay for my sins and give me a new life, I know that He's real, that He's powerful, and that He hasn't stopped wanting to make a powerful difference in my life, in your life, and in the life of anyone who decides that they're going to believe in Jesus and follow Jesus wherever He may lead. Call me simple, call me crazy, call me whatever you will. Jesus died for us. He rose again. He sits at the right hand of God on His throne, and He is ready, willing, and able to make a powerful difference in my life and yours if only we'll let Him. That's why in this series called Signs, Wonders and Miracles, we're stepping our way through the eight miracles that the Apostle John records in his gospel account of Jesus' life and ministry. Interesting, Jesus performed so many miracles in the 3.5 years of His public ministry, but John chooses to reveal only eight of them to us. He calls them signs. And here's why. John actually gives us the reason why he does this. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." The whole point of these miracles, and the reason that John constantly refers to them as signs, is that they point to the power and the authenticity of Jesus. They verify His claims that He was and is the Son of the one true God, and that He came to die for us, to pay for our sins, and to rise again from the dead to give us new life. John wrote them down, recorded them, to point to Jesus so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, your Saviour, the Son of God. And here's the crunch. Here's what this means to you and me here and now, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. A fresh, new, powerful life here and now, filled with His power and His joy and His peace and His grace and His mercy, and an eternal life in His presence. That's what these signs are all about. That's what these miracles are all about. They're about your life, and that's why they're so important. So the next one in the series is the time that Jesus walks on water. Hey, pretty neat trick if you can do it. Let's have a listen. John chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. When evening came, His disciples went down to the sea, got onto a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was dark by now, and Jesus had not yet come. The sea became rough because there was a strong wind blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But He said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So after the powerful miracle of feeding the 5,000 men with 2 fishes and 5 loaves, Jesus sent His disciples to go out onto the Sea of Galilee. It's not unreasonable. A few of them were experienced fishermen. They knew these waters. But if you've ever been on the ocean, or as in the case of these disciples, on a large inland body of water, you'll know that no amount of experience can compensate for the ferocious power of the wind and the water. And that's what happened here to these men in this boat. One minute, everything's fine. They had the skills to get across, they knew the waters, everything was fine and dandy. But the next minute, a massive storm blows in. We all know what that feels like. It's confusing first up. Why does God let that happen? They must have been thinking that to themselves in this tiny boat, pitching on this angry sea. Why did Jesus let us get on this boat? Surely he knew. Well, of course he knew. But he wanted them to experience the reality of his power amidst the overwhelming circumstances of their fragile lives. They're 3 or 4 miles out from the shore. Well, look, in the middle of a storm, they might as well have been 300 or 400 miles out, because once you're out there in that storm in a small fishing boat, nothing's going to save you. You've been there, right? Perhaps not on a boat on an angry sea, but in your life, you've been out there when the storm's been blowing and you've wondered, how am I going to survive? This miracle, this sign, speaks the reality of the supernatural power of God into our lives. This power of God isn't just a theory. It's real, and it's something that you and I are meant to experience for ourselves in life. Out on the stormy waters, Jesus walks. Completely impossible, right? I mean, come on, totally impossible. And that lies at the heart of what God's got to say to you and me in this short, simple, but powerful story that's written up here by John in such an understated way. The sea's rough. I mean, the sea is really rough. And yet they see Jesus walking out across the water. And they were frightened. Well, that's putting it mildly. And Jesus tells them, look, don't worry. Stop being afraid. It's me. I'm here. I can do the impossible. I mean, they already knew that. They'd seen him do the impossible in other people's lives. Hey, just a few hours before, they'd seen him feed 5,000 men, plus the women and children, with 2 fishes and 5 loaves. But they'd never experienced this power in their own lives. They'd never experienced this power when they were in peril. And the whole point of this miracle for them is that they should believe that the power of God is real in their lives as well through Jesus Christ. Not just all the crowds Jesus ministers to, not just the odd blind person or the lame person that Jesus heals, but in their lives when they are in desperate need. And the whole point of this miracle for us is that we should believe that the power of God is real in our lives through Jesus. Do you get it? When next you have a storm raging in your life, remember this. Remember that the Holy Spirit had John the Apostle record this miracle. Remember, he was one of the guys in that pitching boat. He was one of the guys that was there afraid that he was going to drown, even more afraid when he saw Jesus walking on the water. God had him record this story so that you and I would know that Jesus' power is real, and through that, we can have life, the life that he came to bring us. It's that simple. Jesus is for real. That's it. God wants us to know that his power, his incomprehensible supernatural power, is real in our lives. Because when we experience his power in the midst of our terrifying storms, it changes us in a way that nothing else can. Nothing. Which is why each one of these messages in this series, Signs, Wonders, and Miracles, is available for you right now online, because I know that God wants to powerfully transform your life as well. And sometimes it helps to have another listen to his word, or maybe download the transcript. So, to listen to these messages again, hop online at our website, ChristianityWorks.com, and click on the Christianity Works icon at the bottom of the homepage. That'll take you straight there to this current series, Signs, Wonders, and Miracles. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Now, our sight, the gift of vision, is possibly the most valuable of all our 5 senses. And for those people who are visually impaired, particularly for those who are blind, it changes everything. But what about those who are spiritually blind? Let's take a look at the next sign in the Gospel of John, the healing of a blind man. So, imagine you're blind from birth. Just imagine that. You have no sense of what anything looks like. You only understand texture by touch. You identify people and places by smell and by sound, by context, rather than by sight. When people talk about red or blue or the colour of a sunset, you have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. None. And then Jesus walks into your life and he gives you your sight for the first time. Come on, what would that feel like? Totally incredible, right? Let's have a read of this beautiful, powerful story. Jesus gives sight to a man who's been blind from birth. John's Gospel, chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a man who'd been blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" But Jesus answered, "It wasn't that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when we can do no work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So they brought him to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud in my eyes and I washed and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man isn't from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others said, "Well, how can a man who's a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division amongst them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." The Jews didn't believe that he'd been blind and received his sight. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Come on, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." But the guy answered, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, though, that I was blind and now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I've already told you and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you too want to become one of his disciples?" But they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we're disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." So the man answered, "Why, isn't that an amazing thing? You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything." But they answered him, "You were born in utter sin. Would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." So the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped Jesus. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, but those who see may become blind." Now some of the Pharisees nearby heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Here's what totally blows me away about this story. A blind guy has been healed. I mean, what a miracle. Come on. And this isn't some shonky, unverifiable miracle like some of those you might have seen on television. No, this guy has been blind from birth. Everybody knows that. This is a serious, real, authenticated, verifiable, bona fide miracle that no one has ever seen before. But all the religious leaders of the day are worried about was that Jesus healed the guy on the Sabbath when by the law he wasn't supposed to do any work. The day of rest, the day when no work was to be done. They grilled the guy. They put him through the third degree. And this man, who's just, by the way, received his sight after all his life being blind, gives it back to them with both barrels. He states the blindingly, glimpsingly obvious. "Well, guys, I don't know where he's from, but once I was blind and now I can see. That's all I can tell you. This is what Jesus did." In other words, the evidence, men, speaks for itself. Now, you may not know where he comes from, he said. You may not like him. He may well be upsetting your religious apple cart. But guys, I used to be blind. You all know that. But now I can see. Go figure. Do you see the sharp contrast between this man's newfound vision, which comes from an encounter with the power of God through Jesus Christ, and the spiritual blindness of those religious leaders? And Jesus sums it up for them. He tells them, you're the guys who are really blind here because you completely missed the obvious. The blind man gained his sight and believed. The spiritual leaders, those who should have had wisdom and insight and knowledge about God stuff, those who claimed to have sight, according to Jesus, were in fact blind. I remember sitting in a meeting being told by a very respectable Christian leader and teacher, a man who was heard by millions of people through the media around the world, that miracles didn't take place anymore. Now, I was only a young Christian at the time, but I remember how my blood boiled. I didn't know much, but I knew that the power of God was real. God found me on the 8th floor balcony of a hotel room, about to jump off and take my life, and he pulled me back from the brink through a Gideon's Bible I'd been reading the night before and saved me. He transformed my life. And here I am, all those years later, telling millions more people around the world all about this same powerful, loving, miracle-working Jesus. The man, that religious leader, was just like these Pharisees and Sadducees in this story. He was denying the power of God. What he didn't realize was he was talking to me, and I have to tell you, am a walking, living, breathing miracle. My life was saved by this Jesus. My spiritual blindness was cured by Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that the transformative power of Jesus Christ is real. I tell it to you not just because I read it here in the Bible, as we've just heard, but I can tell it to you because I've experienced it in the most powerful and dramatic way in my life. Jesus is real, and he wants to make the most powerful, the most amazing, the most transformative difference in your life too. And my friend, don't let anyone, no matter how plausible they sound, tell you any different. Perhaps you've heard about Jesus today and yet you've never accepted him into your life. Well, I'm going to pray a short prayer right now. And if you want to do that, accept Jesus into your life. Come on, pray this same prayer with me right now. Lord God, today I've heard about Jesus, and I've decided for myself that he is real. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for me so that my sins could be forgiven, and that he rose again to give me a new life. In his name, through what he did, God, please forgive me everything that I've done wrong. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the new life that Jesus came to give me. In his name I pray. Amen. Friend, if you've prayed that prayer with me for the first time, then God has just forgiven you and accepted you as one of his children. Now, you may be asking yourself now, well, so now what? Look, stop by our website, ChristianityWorks.com, and go to the Jesus section. There are some resources there specifically for you that'll answer that question, so now what? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Okay, so we've just seen how Jesus gave sight to the man who'd been blind from birth. Pretty neat trick, but that's nothing. I mean, nothing compared to this next one. I'd like to introduce you to a guy called Lazarus. Have you ever seen someone physically raised from the dead? Well, I haven't, not yet. I've seen Jesus do some amazing things in people's lives, both in terms of physical healing and emotional and spiritual healing. But to this point, I haven't seen anyone brought back from the dead physically. Now, we see it a few times in Scripture, not many, just a few. We see Jesus bring the little girl back to life in Luke's Gospel in the New Testament, chapter 8. Of course, we see the resurrection of Jesus. That's the really big one. Can't miss that one. And then we see the story of Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus who dies. And then Jesus brings him back to life. It's the one I'd like to look at right now. I guess the point that I want to get across first, though, is this. Do I believe that Jesus can bring people back to life physically from the dead? Yeah, sure I do. Absolutely I do. But it's not something that happens every day. It was quite rare in Scripture, and it's really quite rare today. Why? Well, we live in a world where it's an absolute certainty that each one of us is going to die physically. Either Jesus will come back beforehand, or you and I are going to die. That's it. The two sure things in life are death and taxes is what they say, and pretty much they're right. But every now and then, God does bring people physically back to life. So here's the thing. If we're all going to die and yet physical resurrections are rare as hen's teeth, that's a reasonable summary. What's the point of this miracle? And what does it say to you and me today about the power of God in our lives? A message comes to Jesus that his good friend Lazarus is close to death, but instead of racing straight there, he waits for a couple of days deliberately to let him die. Then and only then does he go. Let's pick up the story in John chapter 9 as Jesus arrives in Bethany where Lazarus is already dead. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been there, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." So Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and he's calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose up quickly and went to him. Now, Mary came to where the Lord Jesus was and saw him, and she, too, fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who'd come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Well, couldn't he who opens up the eyes of the blind man also have kept this guy from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's going to be an odor because he's been dead for 4 days." But Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you'd always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he'd said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Isn't that interesting? The first thing Jesus does when he hears that his good friend Lazarus is on his deathbed is nothing. Nothing! Hey, when I have a crisis going on in my life, a matter of life or death, I want Jesus to spring into action now, don't you? Well, nothing, I guess, isn't quite right. He executes a phase of deliberate delay. He stays where he is for another 2 days. Come on, Jesus, let's get going there. This is urgent. You have to act now. But Jesus deliberately delays. Because the point of what's going on here and the point of what's going to transpire is this. The illness doesn't lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And so we see as the story unfolds, everyone is so distressed at Jesus' delay. "Oh, Jesus, if only you'd come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died." Now, that's not an unreasonable statement, I guess, but it's all about perspective. Our perspective in a crisis is our pain, our problem, our circumstances, our need, our desperate timetable. We see it from where we see it. But as we've observed previously in this series, John calls these miracles signs, and with good reason, because they're all about pointing to Jesus, authenticating who he is, the Son of the living God. We all see things from where we sit, from our perspective, but God sees things from a different perspective. The whole point of the supernatural, miraculous intervention of God in our lives is that God gets the glory. God is in the business of making a powerful difference in our lives. And that's what my latest booklet is all about, Signs, Wonders and Miracles. And it's available right now online at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there on the homepage. Just click on it, complete the form, and the e-booklet will be winging its way to you within just a few minutes. And while you're there, please check out the rest of the site, especially the resources library. There are so many messages there for you to address your particular area of need. Perhaps you have an issue in your family. Well, go to the marriage and family section. Or the devil keeps defeating you with some temptation. Well, check out the living in victory section. God's word is mighty and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why we do what we do here at Christianity Works, sharing the word of God with you and millions of other people around the world. So please keep us in your prayers. And don't forget, I would really like you to have a copy of that free booklet, Signs, Wonders and Miracles. So to request your copy, go to the homepage of ChristianityWorks.com. The miracle-working power of God isn't just for other people. Hey, it's for you too. God is in the business of transforming your life, and that's what this booklet's all about, a balanced, relevant, biblical look at signs, wonders, and miracles. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again next time right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.